Praise the Lord, everyone. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is great and greatly to be praised. I pray that all is well with you and your families, and I thank you once again for listening in. We are continuing on with the Signs of the Time series, Lesson 7. The topic of discussion will be the tribulation period. Before we advance, let's do a quick recap of some of the highlights from Lesson 6. We discussed the Antichrist, where he would rise from, and who will he be. We do not know every detail, but a few things are conclusive based on the Word of God. It is conclusive that the image which King Nebuchadnezzar saw in a dream, as interpreted by Daniel, represents the Gentile world dominion, which will continue until the time of the end. It is conclusive that the iron of the image represented the former Roman Empire, and that the 10 toes of the image that were part iron and part clay represents a revived Roman Empire, which will be comprised of 10 confederate or confederated kingdoms. This will be the last form of the Gentile world power in the latter day and yet to be fulfilled. It is conclusive that the little horn that was mentioned in Daniel chapter 7 that rises among the 10 kingdoms will be the Antichrist, and he will be the ruler or head of these kingdoms. By reason that he rises during the times of the Gentiles as represented in the image, it is conclusive that he will not be of Jewish descent. He will be the last Gentile ruler at the end of Gentile world dominion. He is called in prophecy the Assyrian, which is an indication that he will come out of Syria. It is also mentioned that Syria was formerly a part of both the Grecian Empire and also the Roman Empire. Under Alexander the Great, Syria became a part of the Grecian Empire and afterward became a province of the Roman Empire. It is conclusive that Syria will be one of the 10 kingdoms that will be a part of the revived Roman Empire in the latter day. In our study of the tribulation period, we're going to first look at the scripture references found in the book of Daniel chapter 9 verses 24 through 27. And just to give you a brief summary as to what is taking place in chapter 9. From the beginning of the chapter, we learn that while Daniel was in captivity, he understood why the Jews fell under such judgment. He understood the words of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel turned his face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He prayed for the restoration of the Jews who were in captivity as well, confessed sin, and acknowledged the justice of God in their calamities. And he appeals to God for mercy and forgiveness. While he was yet speaking, his prayer was interrupted. In verses 20 through 22, it reads, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee still an understanding. Now, this was a phenomenal thing that happened, to have God to break in while you're praying, tap you on the shoulder, and in essence say, now let me speak. This must have been a wonderful experience for Daniel. The Lord sent his messenger Gabriel to inform Daniel of a period of time that would be 7 times longer than the Babylonian captivity that Israel would be dispersed from their land. Gabriel spoke to Daniel concerning 70 weeks of national chastisement. He goes on to say in verses 24 and verse 25, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecies and to anoint the most holy. He goes on to say in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks the streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now let's just take a pause here and expound on what was revealed to Daniel. But first, it is important to do some math, since the events that he mentioned in these two verses was spoken in terms of numbers. In the Jewish language, a week is translated as Shivim, which is a group of 7 years. On English, we say sevens, or simply 7 years. Gabriel spoke to Daniel in verse 24, saying, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. In doing the math, 70 weeks is 70 times 7 years, which is 490 years. In verse 25, he says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Let's do the math. A week, as mentioned, is 7 years. Therefore, 7 times 7 years equals 49 years. Gabriel further reveals, and 62 weeks, the streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. A score in the Bible is a group of 20. So 62 weeks equals 62 weeks. 62 times 7 years is 434 years. In adding 49 years and 434 years, it totals 483 years. And when you divide 483 years by 7 years, it equals to 69 weeks of the prophecy given to Daniel. So in verse 26a, it reads, "And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." And this is in reference to the crucifixion of Christ, the fact that he would die, but not for himself, but for others, talking about us. Thank you, Jesus. Now, don't worry, all of this is going to make sense in a minute. But going back to verse 24, when he says that 70 weeks are determined, which is the 490 years, if you look at it on this wise, 7 weeks, or the 49 years that we talked about, is one period. 62 weeks, or the 483 years that we talked about, is the second period. And then there is the remaining 1 week, or the last 7 years, as the third period, which encompasses the full 70 weeks of Gabriel's prophecy. The last 7 years will be the time of trouble or tribulation. All right? So the first period, or the 7 weeks, has already been fulfilled, and begin with the decree of Cyrus the king of Persia granting the Jewish remnant to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall and the temple. And this was spearheaded by Ezra and Nehemiah. It goes on to say that the temple would be rebuilt in troublous times, which points to the time of Roman occupation. So the end result of the temple and wall being rebuilt would be built during a time of Roman occupation, and this has already come to pass. The second period has been fulfilled concerning the 62 weeks. And within this time period was the birth and a manifestation of Christ, and also his crucifixion, which is the first advent. So 69 of the 70 weeks have already occurred. The question is, when will the last week, or the last 7 years, be fulfilled? It has been over 2,000 years since the Messiah was cut off, as recorded in Daniel chapter 9:26. Therefore, it is evident the 70 weeks are not 70 consecutive weeks, but there is a time space between each period. It is also evident that the 70 weeks only covers the period when the Jews are dwelling in their own land, and does not cover the period of dispersion. Time stopped at the end of the 69th week, when the diaspora, or national dispersion of the Jews, occurred. time will resume after they are regathered once again in their own land. And the duration of this time period is 7 years to complete the 70 weeks that are determined. Right now, we are in the gap between week 69 and week 70 of the prophecy spoken by Gabriel. And within the gap, it covers the whole of the church dispensation, the outcalling of the Gentiles to be a part of Christ's church is still going on and has not yet finished its course. When the fullness of Gentiles is completed, as mentioned in Romans chapter 11, 25, then the church age will end and the saints will be raptured. When the church age will end and when the 70th week begin is not revealed in Scripture. But we do know that before the tribulation period, before it begins, the church will be raptured and the Jews will be regathered in their own land. So the last week represents the reign of Antichrist for 7 years. Continuing on in Daniel chapter 9, 26b to verse 27, it was revealed to Daniel what will take place in the 70th week. It reads, "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the cities and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Who is the prince that shall come? He is the same one called the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. Going back to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, which speaks of the invasion of Israel when they are regathered in their own land, an alignment of nations will descend on Israel and come in like a storm, according to Scripture. It will be at that time, you know, when they're in their land, that it's going to be continuous wars. All right, that period will be marked by continuous wars. In verse 27a, it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." He is the Antichrist who will confirm an agreement with Israel's leadership as a promise of protection. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 and 18 describes this as a covenant with death and an agreement with hell that shall not stand. Finishing Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it reads, "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblations to cease, and the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So the agreement that Israeli leadership will sign will not bring them peace. The scripture says, in the midst of the week, which is at the 3.5 year mark of the 7 years, the Antichrist will break covenant And instead of peace, the last 3.5 years, he will bring terror. The last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation period. The signing of the covenant with Antichrist marks the beginning of the tribulation period. The scripture says he shall confirm the covenant with many. It is not made clear in scripture who will be a part of the many, but it is clear that a pact will be made, perhaps even a military alliance that will enable the Antichrist to gain power over the 10 kingdoms during the first 3.5 years of the 70th week. Israel will be given a false sense of peace, or better term, a temporary peace. This will give them time to establish and restore temple worship and sacrifice. When the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel at the 3.5 year mark, he will enter and make Palestine and the Jewish temple his capital building. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 17, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." The abomination is the manifestation of the Antichrist standing in the temple. He will do away with all Jewish sacrifices in the temple and set himself up and his image in the temple to be worshiped as God. Now, when I consider the notation that Jesus added at the end of Matthew chapter 24 and 15, saying, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." In my mind, this is a futuristic message to those who will be living through this awful period, to refer to the book of Daniel. And when you read it, understand that what you are witnessing is the abomination in the holy place, according to the prophecy that was given to Daniel. So I am going to conclude here, and we will continue on with more of the tribulation and also the great tribulation period in our next lesson. And I must admit that I am thoroughly enjoying the study on this subject and asking the Lord to open my eyes and give me understanding of the prophetic word, because I believe that the Bible is the authoritative word of God and also the highest form of prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21 declares, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." What are you saying to me, preacher? What I'm saying to you is that you can trust the words of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, and every prophetic writing concluding with Malachi. These men are long gone, but their prophecies yet stand. The Lord would not have us to be ignorant concerning his word. So in closing, I challenge you to search the scriptures for yourself. God bless you. And until next time, stay prayerful, seek God, and most of all, at the conclusion of this lesson series concerning the end times, my hope and prayer is that there are those who are listening, and I can't say this enough, that will make up in their mind that they want to be a part of Christ's church, so that you could avoid the judgment that is to come. Now, all of these things that they're talking about in the last 7 weeks of Daniel's prophecy is relative to God's people, Israel. And I tell you one thing, I find it an absolute act of mercy for God to make a way for the Gentile people to have an opportunity to escape what is to come. And he made a way for us through his son, Jesus Christ, who laid the foundation for us and opened up the way. He made a way of escape for us so that we can be a part of his church that's going to be taken out of here before this craziness began. So you don't have to be left behind, all right? You don't have to be in the middle of, what is to come if you don't want to be, if you make the right decision. However, if you don't make Jesus the right choice and you're left behind, I'm telling you now, it's not going to be a very desirable situation. Amen. So we're going to conclude, and Lord willing, pick it up in lesson 8, talking about a little more about the tribulation period and the great tribulation period. Until then, God bless you all. Until we meet again. Amen.